All right, everyone, welcome back to beginning a great new semester. So, and I think as we learned last semester, it's always important. There's actually a mitzvah, probably a mitzvah deraisa of Zachar Shema Shabbos Lekach, of remembering Shabbos, is to remember Shabbos during the week. It's actually part of the mitzvah. So I think it's like a beautiful idea that even though we've just finished Shabbos, and we just said, you know, but Yom Yom Rishon LeShabbos, really think about Shabbos. So we talk about some of the laws of Shabbos on Sunday mornings. So one of the important halachos that I think most people like, they know something about, but not sure all the different areas of the halacha, is the laws of taking medicine on Shabbos. So in the first source, so the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara on Shabbos, on Yon Gimel, tells us, someone's just feeling mere discomfort, and yet nevertheless they're able to walk around like a healthy person, like just whatever, just a michosh. For example, they have a slight headache, they maybe have some sort of slight cough or cold. So says the Shulchan Aruch, asur la'asos lo shum refuah. We're not, it's forbidden for anyone to do some sort of healing for them, any medicine for them. Afila yidei ina Yehudi, even if a non-Jew would do this, gzeir mishum schikas samanim. Because we're concerned about the issue of grinding spices. What is the, what do you guys think is the malacha deraisa, the biblical prohibition that we're worried about? Is that? Exactly, tochen, which is grinding. So what the Gemara points out, and the Shulchan is just giving you the bottom line halacha, is that there's the isur derais of tochen, of grinding on Shabbos, and because many of the medicines that were at the time, especially at the time of Chazal, and we're seeing a moment, even to this day, are made through the means of grinding, through tochen, so Chazal made a gzera, made a rabbinic decree that we're not allowed to take refuah, lest you come ahead and go and, I mean, you can't even take the medicine, like the pill, let's say in our case, lest you come ahead and go and grind it. So you might say, oh, well, maybe this is halacha is only limited to those things which are subject to grinding. It could be there's certain medicines which were never even ground in the first place. So already in source 2, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, says, no, hainu afilu dvarim she'im behem mishum malacha. Even any sort of medicine, doesn't matter if it's not going to include any sort of prohibited action on Shabbos. Nevertheless, gam kein asar was part of this rabbinic decree. So the question is, I'm sure many of you are thinking, well, today, I mean, seriously, who actually grinds their medicine? I mean, does anyone have any of those mortar and pestles in their apartments or in their dorm rooms to make their own medicine?
Ashley does.
Well, okay, Ashley does. Well, that's actually going to be an important point. As we're going to see in a second from the Tzitzil Yeser. But most would say, "What do you mean? I have my bottles. I have my, you know, even around, I don't have my coat here, but you know, I have my pills. I have my Tylenol, my aspirin. I have whether it's my antibiotics. It's all in pill form." And we know already that we have a concept in halacha. So we have Moshe Klein's out here. He's a very big zealot about this, yeah. Which is that we have the idea of ein tochen achar tochen. It is that once something has already been ground, even if you reconstitute into a new form, you can't violate the biblical prohibition of tochen again on this thing. It's similar to the idea we also have ein bishel achar bishel, which some of we talked about actually last semester a little bit, or that once something has been cooked, I can't violate the prohibition, even if it's cooled down 100%, at least when it comes to solids, I can't violate Bishul once again because it's already, the malacha has been achieved. So the question then becomes is why today is this rabbinic prohibition still in force? If there's no ein tochen achar tochen, so if I'm not going to be, there's no concern, because even if I go ahead and take my aspirin pill and smash it up, I wouldn't violate the prohibition. And who, except for, we'll come back to Ashley in a second, who goes ahead and actually uses a mortar and pestle? So the most important source for this discussion is the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim. The Rambam tells us in Perek Bet, Halacha Bet, he says, based on Shigazu Gzero Tiknu Takana, so the Supreme Court who issues a decree or makes an ordinance, when Higu Minhag, or they introduce a custom, Upashad Adab B'Kol Yisrael, and it sort of becomes widespread throughout Israel, and what happens afterwards, V'amad Achareim, based in Achar, and then later in time in history, whether it's, you know, a decade later, a century later, or a millennia later, another court comes and wants to get rid of it, to abolish it. So la'akro so hatakana vosa gzir vosa minhag. They want to, again, abrogate and abolish that edict, that ordinance, that custom. Says the Rambam, l'halacha eno yachol ashiya gadol min harishonim b'chachom b'minyan. The only way you can do this is actually a gemara in Chulin. It's the first gemara, it's the first daf also in Megillah. Those who've done Megillah, you need to have a court either with more greater in chachma, which again, that's a whole discussion amongst Rishonim, what it means to be greater in wisdom. But we can understand what minyan it means, is that, okay, so if it was a court of 10, you need at least minimally a court of 11. If it was, you know, we had different courts, you had the 3, the 10, the 21. So if you had those, you need the Bezin HaGadol, the Sanhedrin, to abolish them. He said, "Hayugadol b'chachma, v'lo b'minyan, v'minyan olu b'chachma, inu yachal v'atas dvarav." He says, you're not able to. You need both of these factors. To be chachma, you have to be greater in wisdom, and in number. And here's the key line for our purposes. Afilu batul hatam. Even if the reasoning, or the apparent reasoning, of the gzera becomes nullified, like in our case, where no one's grinding their pills whatsoever, shebeglalo gazer harishonim, o hiskinu, or in that, meaning the reason that was the reasoning behind why they made the ordinance in the first place, nevertheless, says the Rambam, ein ha'achronim yichon levatel at shigadol mihem. The later generations aren't able to abrogate it until they meet this criteria. So why do you guys think that is? Because this comes up all the time, this idea which is called batel tam, really it's called ein batel tam, sorry, batel tam, ein batel gzera, which is that even if the reasoning falls away, the legislation does not. Why do you guys think that is, that as a halachic system, just because the reasoning falls away doesn't mean that the halacha falls away? Any of you government or politics majors?
Precedent.
What do you mean by that?
Like, you can't nullify a precedent unless it's overturned by an extreme body of legislation.
Right, exactly. What I was referring to is you need, in order to have certain laws that are legislated, and it will ignore judicial activism for a second, but the point is that normal way it works in this country is that if a law was passed and becomes a statute, so you need, they have to follow certain procedures. It can't just be like, well, we don't really like hold by that. It's true that like, okay, listen, society isn't always in vogue with like the laws. The point is that there's a system. In order to override that precedent, you need to have, I think it's like three quarters majority of the House to override it. So too when it comes to halachas. We have, halacha is a legal system, at least at the very least, and therefore there are certain laws and rules you have to follow in order to change the halacha. So just because the halacha was seemingly the reason was changed, it doesn't change that fact. It's very interesting. So the piece that you don't have, it says Nefesh HaRav, so it's a selection that Rav Schechter put together after the Yortzeit of, the first Yortzeit of Rav Soloveitchik. So he talks about how he used to get very upset at his Reform and Conservative colleagues who would use this concept in the reverse of batel tam, batel gzera, that the reasoning falls away, therefore the law falls away, with abandon. Like every halacha, well, and therefore they permitted the use of this. He said it's not true. One of the reasons, this is actually important to know, is that Zvon Lagon actually says, but the reason why this is not the case is because a lot of the times, the way it would work is that, think about it like this. So you have a certain, think from our contemporary situation. You have a politician. A politician has a certain legislative agenda. So there could be a whole host of reasons why the legislative agenda is what they want. Could be for, you know, personal reasons, could be for political reasons, could be for economic reasons, could be for philosophical, could be so many different reasons, right? But we all know when it comes to when they're going around the country to get people to be convinced to support this agenda, what do? They usually have a very simple message. Like, this is the reason why we have to pass whatever you want to insert the blank, whether you're on the left or the right, doesn't matter. There's a particular soundbite they say because they think that's what's going to convince people to vote and support their legislative agenda. Now, do they give you all the nuance and all the other factors? No, because sometimes the nuance confuses people. So basically, that's what the Vilna Gaon says. It says that when Chazal made an Akhtakana, is when Chazal made a Takana, they didn't tell you all the reasoning, all the different factors from a legislative perspective that were involved. They gave you a reason that every people would understand. Therefore, he says, so just because that reason that was made sense in the 5th century CE is not a reason why this should fall apart. So that's on a much more technical level. In fact, we said we're going to come back to Ashley. You flip over the page. So the Tzitz Eliezer and his tshuva and Chel Ches, paragraph 4, he says, Sheyesh Ratzon Lomar, that those who want, the Bederach Klal Gozor Kol Refuos, Afilu Beleka Behu Simanim Yishon Gzeres Refuos, Shal Yidei Simanim. So he says that it includes all Refua, and elsewhere in the Truvi he notes that, we gave our example of Ashley, that there are still people today who actually prepare their remedies, their medicines, by crushing it. So you can't say it's true that most of us go to the drugstore and we get our bottles of aspirin and Tylenol for our headaches and things like that, but nevertheless, it's still a thing. So therefore, you can't say it's completely out of vogue. So now we've looked at the background. The question is, so this week we're looking at two leniencies when it comes to taking medicine on Shabbos. The first is in source 6. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Shin Chav Ches, so 328:28, Hamapis Shchim B'Shabbos, one who pierces a blister, to widen the wound, similar like the way doctors do, laharchav piyamaka. They do this practice of piercing the blister in order to widen the wound, which is part of their practice. So he says, harizachai mishum makav patish. He says, you violate the isur deraisa of makav patish. Shazuhi melechas harofe, because this is the way doctors do. However, he says, "Vim hav pisa kedi lahotzi mena halecha sheba harizim mutar." Very important to know, if you're just piercing it not because you want to widen the wound, which is the way doctors would do, but rather, like most of us do, we do. Why do we pop blisters? Because we want to get the pus out. Some of us, lots of YouTube videos that you can watch, where it's very popular these days. He says, "Harizim mutar." And so, what many of the poskim extrapolate from this psak of the Shulchan Aruch is that anytime something is not an inherent, let's say, restorative practice, rather, it's just coming to address something which is external, that is not subject to the prohibition of taking medicine on Shabbos. So, for example, give practical examples, putting a Band-Aid on Shabbos, 100% mutter, because you're actually dealing with the inherent issue, you're dealing with an external issue. Using foot powder, and other things like that, or so like a cast, like that, there's not actually dealing with the actual inherent medical problem, it's more of an external issue, anything that could fall under that category, or, for example, dealing with a bug bite. So putting on like some sort of ointment on the buckle, you're not actually dealing with the inherent inflammation inside your skin itself, you're actually dealing with the outside of its appearance. So according to that, those type of things would fall in the category of an external, there's more we can talk about after, would fit in that category, but anything which is an external issue, not an inherent issue, does not fall under that rubric.
Do you have any examples of things we could do that would be prohibited in this category?
I mean, that would be, like, what do you mean?
What can we possibly do to treat a wound or a sickness on Shabbos that would not be allowed because it's makav patish? Nowadays.
Oh, see. We'll see. We're for the first part of the halacha. That's a good question. I mean, anything I guess following literally the words of the Shulchan, which is that anything which is a medical practice. So I'm sure there's certain things, meaning that in general it's a big machlokas of whether or not that's makav patish, what makav patish is, which is like, you know, we always talk about the final strike of the anvil on the, the hammer on the anvil. Good question. I'm not 100% sure. So, the other leniency, this is one maybe many of you are familiar with, it's called Machel Briyim. The Shulchan Aruch says, and now Sif Lamed Zayin, 37, Kol Ochel Mumashkim, any foods or drinks, Shem Machel Briyim, which is defined as anything which healthy people would consume, Mutar La'achlan L'shtosam, you're permitted to drink them and eat them on Shabbos, Afal Pishahim Shashim L'ksas Briyim, even though some people might not be, it might have some sort of side effect for them. And nevertheless, even though it's mukhacha milso de lurfu of it, even though it's clear and obvious you're doing it for some sort of medicinal, restorative, reparative purpose, says the Shulchan Aruch, afilu hachi shari, nevertheless, it is permitted. What could you think are some examples of something which is macha, would fall under the rubric of macha briyim?
Chicken soup.
Chicken soup, yeah. Oranges.
Tea.
Exactly. So any of those things, the food, so there, even though it's true, everyone says, oh, you have a cold, you have the flu, have some chicken soup, you have some tea for a sore throat, you have orange juice because you're not feeling so well under the weather, nevertheless, everyone eats that stuff, and therefore it would be permitted. It's not an issue of refuah. What are some other things? We'll be a little more sort of in the gray area now.
Kids Tylenol.
True. I'm saying aspirin. I'm saying, like, so a big question the postman was, what about aspirin? Because at the time, people just, take a pill a day, take some, we would say Tylenol, and like, everyone does. Many people are having aspirin and Tylenol. So what was another example you could think of? Has reparative functions, medicinal functions, but, you know, everyone takes them.
Sleep.
So sleep. Yeah, vitamins. Vitamins, sleeping pills. So the question is, are these falling under the rubric of Machel Briyim? So this became a big machlokas. So you look in source number 9, so the Ber Moshe, who's the Debatina Rav, so he says in the first paragraph, he says, "Hinei hazahar bepamim nishalti im shar likach aspirin b'shabbos." He says, I was asked many times, of course that's how you spell aspirin in Hebrew. I always love that. Some of these, specific era of these poskim, who they're like, we're not going to look for like the actual Hebrew, we're just going to like write in English, and sometimes it's very difficult. So this was pretty easy, aspirin. I remember I was reading a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, and I'm like, looking at this word, I'm like, I don't get it. Like, what does he say? Finally, it hits me. He's saying centimeter. So definitely, it's both easier and harder at the same time. So he says, are you allowed to take aspirin on Shabbos? And for us, it's Tylenol or Advil, but makom ke'ev rosh, but when you have like a slight headache, oh, b'hitzdanuz nuz b'lochum, where you have some sort of like, you know, chills or some, you're having a cold, you don't have a fever. So he says, he quotes from, someone told me the name of Rav Yonason Steif, who was a big posig in Brooklyn, who says, shehor lahatir. He says that it's mutter. You can take, even for just, you know, a small issue, a small headache, it's permitted. Why? So you skip down. He says, Because sha'aspirin nasa ata zman zela macha briyim. Because aspirin fits on the rubric of what we call macha briyim. Because she'en base she'en muchan umezum l'tzluchis mali aspirin l'gdon l'kadam. Everyone has aspirin. They have it for the kids. They have it for the adults. Everyone has aspirin. Everyone's popping pills of aspirin. Umakum tsar katan kol echad b'leah kader aspirin. Because you get the smallest thing, the smallest little pain, what do they say? Take a pill, right? So you have aspirin, you have your Advil, your Tylenol, everyone does it. It says, in fact, today, some people take it so they can go to sleep, so they're not going to be cold. Everyone just, apparently then at that time, everyone's taking anything. It reminds me, so any of you know Chris Rock, it kind of reminds me of his whole skit he has about Robitussin. That anyway, he was growing up, everything you needed, you have a headache, take some Robitussin. You broke your leg, take some Robitussin. It's like put it into the bullet, soak in, and the Robitussin will help cure you. So apparently in Brooklyn, where the Debitzin Rav was, that was the same case with aspirin. Everyone was just taking aspirin for everything there was. So he says if that's the case, if everyone's taking it, not just people who are we would say are sick, well then it's not problematic. It's what we call macha briyim. However, he later writes in a different tshuva, he's not so sure whether it comes to aspirin, one should be taking it. Because he mentions how some people actually have, it says major side effects, because I think technically aspirin is a blood thinner, or can act as a blood thinner, and therefore if you're already taking a blood thinner, it could have actually serious repercussions for you. So in the second paragraph, he talks about how he says, Lafine is diet according to what I think, people should know, I need mumchim, ki America gedolim. There we go. Like the American gedolim, acher bechina kasha kved, after many intensive investigations, she'ain bliyasa aspirin pasha. It's not so simple to be popping aspirin like they were doing apparently with everyone having their own bottle. But it's bar ba'oso sumoftim, she'yesh shum sam aspirin ha'mazik leharbi b'nei avim. It's the fact they've actually now found, there's been studies done, that for some people, they react very negatively to some of the ingredients in aspirin. Miyaz harbi nimdim l'lam kachach b'pshitas. And therefore, this whole thing of everyone popping anymore, it's no longer in vogue for people to start just randomly having some aspirin. They got miyadua, so this is we know, shekol mishiyesh lo michosh betstumcha aspirin mazik lo meod. That's, I think, abstumcha has to do with the bloodstream. It impacts you in a very serious way. However, he says, and this goes back to what Yair was saying, Hamatzin Dovracha Nikra Tylenol. Everyone takes Tylenol, Tachza Aspirin, Shino Machzik, Samza, Hamazik, Lam Stucha, Yen Heter Pasha Kokach, Adayan Tzorach, Tirutz, Umatinos. Takes me if it's more investigation whether or not aspirin fall under the rubric still of Machal Brim. However, there are those who push back against this, and they say how that when it comes to what the definition is, in order for it to be Machal Brim, is it has to be done for a non medicinal purpose. So it's not just enough that people who aren't sick halachically are taking this medicine, but rather that it can be for a medicinal purpose, which is why you'll find in other poskim that they're opposed to just taking even these things which other poskim would say is machal briyim. So I guess, for example, the Tylenol and the aspirin would be opposed to taking on Shabbos unless you met their criteria of being sick on Shabbos, which next week we're going to get to, which is how do you define what it means to be, what's the criteria for being sick? So, but to finish off, coming to the other example we talked about, which was vitamins. So can I take vitamins on Shabbos? So there's a whole discussion anyway, which is that, do they actually work? So some posts are like, I know Willick from YU was like, they don't work, so therefore it's not a problem. It's like basically taking a placebo. But if they do work, they do actually work, what is the halakhic status? Because is it going to, again, fit under the rubric of machal briyim?
Work for what?
Meaning, do they actually have any impact? Is it as good as taking, you know, fruits and vegetables and things like that? So the Shmishavsky Hilchasa, which is always basically is the opinions of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, so he quotes in source number 10, Asula Adam Lakachas vitamins for Shabbos. He says very black and white, it is prohibited to take vitamins on Shabbos. I feel like even if you have your daily regimen of your vitamin C and your vitamin A and your I have a bunch of them in my pocket, so we go into that after. He says, even still, nevertheless. He says it is prohibited by Isser Gam Kshem Batam Tov Asum Kasukura Kodoma, even if they have a good taste and they have, like, you know, that sugar coating, they taste great. He says the only permission would be Elmkein Huchola, unless you're sick, and therefore, again, as we're gonna see next week, the reason why is because when it comes to a chola, even if you're she'imbo sakana, it's not a deathly situation. Nevertheless, in the case of a chola she'imbo sakana, we permit you to do Isur Derabanam. Which would make sense now, right? That's why if you fit the category, we'll see what that means to fit that category. But that is what he's referring to over here. His Avshim Bosakana. He quotes some people, Ulam ben Makom Hashem Regil Makachas Vitaminim B'chol Ruchah. He says there are those who are accustomed to take him every single day. He says Yesh Mekim Makachin Gam B'Shabbos. There are those who are lenient in this area, and that's the idea of a regimen, which we're also going to see next week. He says, however, no. There are those who are stringent. Because we know the different types of vitamins. Some are for nutritional values, as they're like a meal replacement. And some are just like getting extra vitamin A and magnesium and zinc like that. So according to Shlomo Zalman, they'd be prohibited. Why? We'll see in one moment. We'll see the other side. So that's that vitamins are prohibited on Shabbos. But Tzitzel Eliezer is actually very much a pro than being permitted. And this is in source number 11. The Tzitzel Eliezer says, "Yimkim Asher Luma Mizel Suga Vitaminim." We can learn from this about vitamins. Asher Alfei Anoshim Mishtamshim Yom Yom Ko'ochon Nosaf. Everyone uses them as like a meal supplement or some sort of extra nutrition or for them. His Velochim Zoski LaHachsoch BaOchel Shiyosifu Yosemidai Al Mishkal Kedoma. So a lot of people take them because they don't want to gain weight. So little diet pills, I guess he's referring to over here. Like people, someone was asking me in the question. She says, he says, I allow you to take them on Shabbos, these weight loss supplements, to take them on Shabbos for two reasons. He says, the first factor is because they now come to the rubric of Machal Briyim, because everyone takes them. Everyone's saying, oh, what's the newest pill? You go to the checkout counter in your random drugstore, and they always have like these little weight loss pills, well familiar with, you know, 500 energy and things like that. He says, everyone takes it. Therefore, it becomes on the category. So it's not, therefore, according to that reasoning, it wouldn't just be applicable to weight loss pills, but even to any sort of vitamins, this type of reasoning would be applicable to. He says, and therefore you could even use them for medicinal purposes. Even if it's clear that they're for medicinal purposes, because everyone does it, and therefore since everyone does it, it's no longer a violation of refuah on Shabbos. He says, the second thing is, let's say you disagree with me on this first account, which is what the Rosh Shlomo Zalman does, and you think they're not under the rubric of Machal Briyim. He says, nevertheless, mutar me'elu shalochem osam mekol yimei achol makom ochol nosaf lahamshil kachin gam shabbos bios ve'in lahem shum michosh miuchad ve'kei mutar lahem lekachin lechizik mezagam. He says this idea which we mentioned also in Rosh Shlomo Zalman, which is that if you're part of a regimen, if you started it not just on Shabbos, rather you take this thing every single day, it's part of your daily regimen, so we won't require you to, we're not concerned, that's what it is, we're not concerned that you're going to go ahead and actually violate the isser of token of grinding at Shabbos when it's part of your normal regimen you have. So you see that you have these two extremes. You have the Tzitzel who's like 100% vitamins are fine. You see, Shlomo Zalman says they're actually problematic. And then we have the middle position, which is Moshe Feinstein. And Moshe Feinstein actually gives us the background of what is actually the machlokas about vitamins. So says of Moshe Feinstein, source 12, he is lahat. He says im yesh vitaminim shem mishanim briuso. He says you have a vitamin which actually impacts your health. So he believes that they work as opposed to Rav Willig. She osim michalash v'tivo lechazek yoter. That if you take someone who is of weaker disposition, it makes them healthier. He says, "Pliki b'zeh Beis Yosef Magen Avram." Beis Yosef and Magen Avram disagree on how to understand the Torah. So then he says, "Yesh lahachmir la'aser gonat Magen Avram." He says, "You should be machmir like Magen Avram." What is the machlokas about? So he says that the Torah says when it comes to a healthy person, there's no issues of refuah. So the question between the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avram is what's the scope of that? How far do we go? So the Beis Yosef says, literally, if you're healthy, then even if I'm taking, I don't know, what's a great example of like a real, like not just like over-the-counter, but like a real drug, real medicine. I don't say cough syrup or something like that. That's still over-the-counter. I don't know. Huh? That is, okay, well, if you want to have an overdose, then it's true. But I mean, like a medicine.
Antibiotics.
So that might be an issue. But he says, if you're healthy, there's no problem. Codeine, any of these things, like the halacha, the rabbinic decree is not subject. If you're healthy, it wasn't part of the original decree, and therefore it doesn't matter what it is. It could be the most, the greatest example, most classic example of medicine, doesn't matter. Magaram says, no. He says, what the Torah meant is that you could take something that is not going to be medicinal, meaning that it's not the person who we're including, it was the object. Therefore, this thing is only for people who are sick. I don't care if you're healthy or you're not, you're just being stupid, taking fentanyl, or taking, I don't know, I wouldn't recommend taking codeine if you don't need it. Especially, you know, I think it's a class A drug, and
it's just might have other problems.
It might have other problems, right? But I know when we had it, Miriam had it, a script for it like 5 or 6 years ago. So yeah, what do? We pour it on the toilet. And my younger brother-in-law was like, why? What are you doing? I'm like, we're not letting you be a drug dealer. like we're not having codeine around the house. She's like, oh, my head just, you know, isn't feeling so well. So that, so, huh? Right, because now it's in the water stream. But Batel B'Shisha, it's fine. I mean, especially if you're living in New York, you felt a little better that day. It was probably thanks to the Schwartzes. but this is really the machlokas. According to the Beis Yosef, it's very simple. It's about what's called the gavra, that if you're a healthy person, you weren't subject to the gzera. Whereas for the Magen Rabbah, it's not about the gavra, it's not about the person, it's about the item. But we call the... It's the Hefza for those who the brisker alumnus. It's this thing is defined as language. It's only for as a medicinal object. So it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're healthy or not. This thing is going to be prohibited. So Rav Moshe gives us this background. He says, "I have a pshar. I have a compromise." He says, "You skip down to the last line." He says, "V'fi mashik ktafti should be arti." I explain who muchrach. It is very clear. The gam stamer very logical. Should dafka sheosta michalash b'tivol leguf bari v'chazak. That's what can be prohibited. Says Rav Moshe, I have a compromise. He says, sort of like it's sort of like a integration.
So sorry, for does anyone here have mashkiach keys?
Yes. He makes the compromise of, let's say, both the gavra and the chefza. He says that if it's in the case where it's going to take you from feeling sickly to feeling healthy, that doesn't matter who you are, whether you're sick or not, it's going to be prohibited. However, he says, "V'lok shos arak litzchazik matiyoter." But if you're already feeling healthy, he says, even the Magen Avraham would agree, you can take these vitamins. So far we've done today, to sum up, we've identified that there is a rabbinic prohibition of taking medicine on Shabbos. It includes even those things which would never even require you to violate the prohibition of grinding. The reason why it's still enforced is based on the Rambam and Hilchos Mamrim, because even if it's batel tam, we say lo batel gzera. And then we gave two leniencies, one of which is that when it impacts something which is external, like we said, band-aids and insect ointment and casts and things like that. And the other example we gave, which is called this category of machal brim, the things which are normal for healthy people to do, is not a violation of the prohibition of refuah. And then we gave two examples of that, which one was, let's say, aspirin, the Tylenols, and Advils. The other category was vitamins. And so next week, we'll look at the other heterim for taking medicine on Shabbos.